This is episode 25 of Werewolf the Podcast. Hope you're enjoying it so far. This is just three simple short stories of things that Will and Fern have done in the past. One punch and my fist entered deep into the man's torso, just above waist height, into his guts. I grabbed and twisted what I could to pull it back towards me. He screamed, removing himself from my arm and fell back. I threw the handful of guts onto him while he lay writhing in the dark on the wet grass. I felt something hit me in the back, and with it a sharp pain. I growled and turned to see a man, a uniformed captain, had a pistol in his hand. Everything now went into slow motion as I closed the distance between us. I could see a perfect cloud of steam slowly form in front of his mouth on the freezing December night. A scream was made visible. I covered the gap between us and appeared in front of him. I grabbed his wrist, putting the pistol to my own wolfine skull. He pulled the trigger out of reflex. The bullet ripped into my head, blood and fire welled in my brain as it pierced my eye and opened my brain box, tearing a tunnel into my napper. I snatched the gun from his hand, breaking his finger off with the trigger guard of the weapon. My other hand pushed him to the ground. He sat screaming and trying to collect his torn finger from the floor. I kicked it away as he looked up at me. I was breathing heavily as I concentrated, forcing the bullet out of my head and healing the wound that it created. You know, just like Lucius in the first Underworld. Pretty cool, huh? Shaking my head, I snarled and laughed, stomping on his chest. Once, twice, three times a wrecked rib cage. More gunfire rang out, and I took a bullet in my leg as I ran towards the trench. They had no idea of the damage I could take, the damage that I could endure and survive. I liked a bit of suffering as I worked. I dropped into the trench and was instantly into the fray, ripping and tearing at the men trapped in the hole in the ground. I tore the machine gun from the man in front of me and hit him with it to get to the next guy. They had no idea what was happening or what I was. I just ran, healing as I fought, moving forward. My own blood drenched my fur, but their blood pooled in the drain at the bottom of the trench. More important was that blood sang in my heart. There was a groaning and a crying from the injured, whom I would play with and eventually finish when they were all down. In this war, I had no particular side. I was just in it for the chaos that I liked to cause. Hitler had his werewolf division, and I was that division. And I chose neither him nor the Allies. I just chose death and destruction in a place that was born of death and destruction. Happy memories. This one's a very short story. It's called Sweet Swinging Surprise.
Her knees, feet, and elbow were fitting into a mumba. The scene starts to crumble to the sound of the drums. Oh boy, there ain't no need to buy that diamond ring. It ain't no big thing, just show her a little swing.
It sat on the swing in the yard. No one was around. It was as though Grandma had left that freshly baked apple pie on the windowsill to cool, and Fatty Arbuckle had smelt it. Oh, it smelled so good, all clean and powdered, a sweet treat prepared for a hungry werewolf. We would just have to have it. My belly rumbled with hunger. My predator mind worked hard on my food drive. It swung back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. Oh, and how it giggled to itself as it did so. It laughed and swung, laughed and swung. Posit had pointed it out to me. It also pointed out that no one was around to see it or me. It was as if no one cared that it was there. It would be an excellent lesson for the parents or carers to take a greater interest in their offspring in the future. I changed at the fence. The swing stopped swinging. There was utter silence now. Even the pretty little birdies stopped their incessant chatter. All that could be heard was the pleasurable crunching and ripping behind the shed where I fed. A morsel for a moment, a treasured mental and palatable pleasure. And last but not least, a short story, just about one of my little meetings, somewhere where I really shouldn't have been. The Barman and the Werewolf. The bar was dark, quiet and still. Nothing could be heard, the dust lay undisturbed at a table at the back. Underneath a fan, two men shared a joke about the normal folk. The Levellers played over the jukebox in Mary Barry's bar in the village of Kilmore, Ireland. I was travelling to Ireland to meet the chief. I'd caught the ferry over from Wales to Rosslare and made my way to meet in this village. The chief always had a sense of humour for our meets. Kilmore, yeah, I got it. Kilmore. The barman was a grumpy fat guy with a food-stained white Marks and Spencer's polo shirt. He was the stereotypical balding man, not accepting his loss gracefully, not grieving and letting it go. Not this man. He had grown the back and sides of his frugal fluff and scraped a handful of his hairs across his greasy, sweaty pate. How can anyone look in the mirror and think that's okay? Just how could he? I mean, he was obviously worried about how he presented himself, but he just looked so fucking ridiculous. Shave your shiny napper, you dick. Wash your shirt. Jogging bottoms? Really? Fat people are stereotypically friendly. He was not. He was actively unfriendly to his client. I think he thought he was clever. That is often the case with those that are truly stupid, though. They need to act clever, not realizing clever people do not act clever because they are, well, clever. He was busy regaling me with some bullshit from his past. He had a need to impress me for some reason. He told me of his days as a battle-hardened hard man from a hard past when everything was really hard. The posse just sat there looking at him with an open mouth of disbelief. He told me how he was a gypsy bare-knuckle boxing champion, how he'd once fought six men to a standstill in a tough man competition. You know, the usual shit that the insecure make up to impress those they need to feel insecure about. He told me of the boxing gypsies at Appleby Fair and all that, how he and his six brothers, sneezy, happy, grumpy, dopey and bullshit and waffle, had to get back to Ireland from England because of what happened with them and the Republican Army. At that point, he winked, leaning over towards me, giving me a whiff of his foul dog poo breath. Brush your teeth, you filthy fat. And then he did some kind of salute that I was supposed to recognise, I think. He even showed me the scar where he had taken a bullet for his best friend, Fergus O'Dowd. The scar looked a lot like those people get when they have an appendix removed. But hey, I wasn't any expert, so I let it continue. I was getting very frustrated, though. Yawn, yawn, yawn. Bite me or fight me. I was adequately bored and just wanted to enjoy a pint of stout and a whiskey chaser whilst waiting for the chief to arrive. I wanted him to shut the fuck up and let me fucking listen to the selections that I'd made on the jukebox. So I switched off from the man's pathetic patter and focused on my drinks while he continued with his nonsense stories. "So what do you think of that, me son?" said the barkeep, spreading the dirt a little more evenly around the glass. He was wiping it with a dirty tea towel. I tried to refocus on what he'd just said and paused before delivering my answer. "I think that you're talking shit, you fat, out-of-shape, pathetic fuck, who tries to impress people by talking bollocks across this bar and pretending you're something that you are not." I smiled, taking a mouthful of my drink as I sat back on the bar stool, raising my hands in a semi-conciliatory way with a huge grin. I saw him twitch as a micro-expression of anger passed over his face. Silence from him at last. The only thing I could now hear, thankfully, was the good music from the jukebox. I fiddled with my empty shot glass a little and then looked at him. I fucking thought so, I said, lifting my glass and saluting him. Full of shit. Another McAllen, please, your mouthiness. The guy stopped smearing the glass and gently placed it down and made his way out to the back room. I ignored him and turned to look at the rest of the bar. I had an hour or so to kill, so wondered if there was anything that I could do to distract myself and maybe kill. I wandered back over to the jukebox in the corner where I'd already made several selections. It was an old-fashioned vinyl juke, 50s style, and had, I must admit, a rather excellent collection of tunes. It had to be another person who chose those tunes, please, not this fat, flatulent fucking fool. After a quarter of an hour or so, the bar door opened and in trooped four yokels, all working men. They had seriousness on their respective minds. These were the rednecks of Southern Ireland, and they had been called in to teach this stranger a lesson. Thank God for that, a distraction. The barman walked back behind the bar, leaning forward and placing both palms down as a support, and smiled. This is the one, boys. Thinks he's some kind of hard man or something. The men laughed and I turned back to the jukebox as though I was choosing my next tune. The largest, and because of his largeness, the leader of the men, stepped up behind me and mistakenly put his hand on my shoulder. I wouldn't do that if I was you, friend, I said. The men at the door laughed. Oh, would you not? Why would that be then? You're going to beat all of us up, my friend, he replied. To make his point, he grasped much harder onto my shoulder and nodded to his friends for their general approval. I made my final selection, smiled and spun to face him, cupping my hand under his chin and looking deep into those little piggy eyes. I gently lifted him off his feet. He was a huge guy, and this was obviously impressed his buddies, who took an appropriate step back and appropriate intake of breath. The man just dangled, his toes touching the ground, but only just. I did not choke him, I just held him by his lower jaw. His entire weight was supported by my right arm, and he had become immobile. I turned to his crew and smiled. Right, you lot, fuck off. No reaction from them was their reaction. This scenario did not compute in their little lumps of grey matter that sat in those fucking empty skulls. They just stood there dumbfounded at the outcome of this brief moment. They now had slack jaws and the doe eyes of confused prey, showing me that they were no longer a threat. Now, you have a choice, I sighed. You stay and you have to deal with me being a cunt with you, or you go and you get to tell the story of what happened in Maggie's bar that day. See him? I raised the man in my hand off his toes and pointed at the man behind the bar. He's dead and he doesn't know it yet. And see this man? I lifted the big man even higher. He's dead too, but you don't have to be. Just walk away. The local police will take at least 10 minutes to arrive. You will all be broken up or dead by that time, and I will be fucking gone. So quickly, make your decision. I looked each man squarely in the face with a smile before lowering the man back to his tiptoes. As the speech concluded, the bartender decided to make a break for it. I stopped him by throwing the big man I had in my hand. Well, yeah, I kind of threw him at him. The big man hit the escaping barman, knocking them both to the floor on the other side of the bar. I followed the thrown man over the bar and onto them both with glee, hitting, kicking and punching quite gently as not to kill. After a few strikes to quell the men's movements, I rose from behind the bar, just my torso showing. All the group at the door could see was me and hear the moaning of the two downed men. I looked at the group again. I pointedly stamped down with my right foot. The crowd heard a distinct crunching sound. I looked at them and smiled. The barman, he's made a bit of a mess here. I'm sure the health authorities would revoke any license he pretends to have. The large man was now moving and moaning on the floor, so I dragged him up from the ground and laid him back down on the bar, holding the scruff of his jacket while I looked at the other men in the bar. You still fucking here? Please, would you just go the fuck away? I look down at the poor guy now. They just have no idea, huh? I bet you're called Patrick, but spelt really funnily. If they don't go away, I'm gonna fucking kill them too. I don't often give opportunities to people, but I can't be arsed. I just came in for a pint and a shot to wait for someone. I don't need this shit right now. I grabbed his left ear and dragged it towards my mouth. I wish they would fucking leave. I then tore the ear off the screaming man and threw it to one side. Why are you still here? I asked them, and then they ran. About 2 minutes later, the chief entered the pub. I think the sight that met his eyes was a bit perturbing to him. I had the large man sitting on the ground with his back to the bar. I sat in a seat near the jukebox listening to some fucking fine tunes. I was now having fun while having a sip or three from my pint. I was enjoying a good game of darts and was getting pretty accurate if the guy didn't flinch too much. As the chief entered, I pulled the darts from my target's forehead. It surprised me how tough the skull was. The darts were thrown with a lot of force and they'd not gone too deep. Hi, Chief. Won a game. His eyes swept the room as the sirens began to bleat in the distance. Oh, for fuck's sake, Will. What is it with you? For fuck's sake. Thanks for listening. Love you loads. If you've listened to all these and stuff, you can buy me a coffee. There is a link that says support the show in the description below, and that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks to all those that have done so far. Those flat whites are keeping me going. Love you loads. Have a lovely day. Bye.